Today's reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
So I just want to have a little think about this passage today. And this is Palm Sunday. What do we know? What does anybody know? Boys and girls, what do you know about the story of this Palm Sunday? What was it about? What happened? Who was there? What did they say? What did they do? What did they not do? Edward. Good start. Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey. Fantastic. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. People thought he was going to be a king. That's very, very, very good. Anybody else other than these two clever boys? Anybody else got anything? You can be over 21 and answer this as well. Anybody else? Any other hands? Any other hands? Any other hands? Before I go back to Edward. Any other hands? Come on, don't be shy. Anybody? Edward. Well, that's right. Yeah, he said, if these people stop praising me, even the rocks will start to praise me, because God is the God of the universe. Every rock, every person, every star is his. Brilliant. Anything else from the Palm Sunday story? Well, can't find any more. I'm going to get Matthew here to, because he knows it all in detail. Yes. Yeah, they put down their t-shirts on the ground. That is exactly it. And their cloaks and their clothes and anything that they were wearing, they put it down just for carpet. That's it. Absolutely. It was like a red carpet, because this is someone really important. So they gave him the red carpet treatment. That is brilliant. Suitable for a king. That is right. Suitable for a king. This is really good. You see, out of the mouths of babes and infants. Come on, where is it? That hand never stops going up. This is brilliant. Anybody else got anything to say about the Palm Sunday story? Edward? Palm branches as well. They did. Palm branches as well. And they waved palm branches. It was a great thing to do. This was a celebration. Any other little thoughts? Anybody in the back row? Bobby? Keith? Paul? Lizzie? Oh. Paul, come on, you were at IBI. June's looking very quiet over here. June, are you still? She thinks I can't see her because she sits over here and doesn't look at me. But anyway, yeah. Brian.
The thing that interests me is the colt had never been ridden before.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be frisky.
That makes me chuckle. I don't know why. Edward, had you something else to say? I had actually forgotten that, yeah. But we'll do that just before, because we're going to do the announcements at the end, so we'll do that just before. But remind me, because I will forget. I will forget. Yeah, this story is great, but I've got some slides to show you, and it's all around that. Can you imagine if you had been one of Jesus' disciples when Jesus was just beginning, at the very start, before anybody knew who he was, and he called his disciples. Can you imagine? They probably thought, this guy is going to be a king. This guy is going to be the Messiah. This guy is going to be number one. And hey, we could be number two, three, four, five. We could all be with him. We could bask in his glory. We could be really important. It's a bit like if you're a pop star, you get lots of people following you. Lots of people want to work with you because they want to bask in your glory. They want a piece of the action. If this person's going to go somewhere, it's going to be a piece of the action. And that's probably what the disciples thought. They thought, we're going to be a part of this. This is going to be good. We're going to be rich and famous and wow, it's going to be a wonderful adventure. And it started off very quietly in the rural Galilee, and he was just an itinerant preacher, and they followed him. But boy, when he started doing miracles, changing water into wine, healing people, making blind people see, wow, walking on water, telling the wind to be quiet. Gosh, it's windy today and yesterday, wasn't it? We walked the cliff walk to Bray and back. I was completely worn out. My legs are still sore. And it was blowing a gale up there as well, but it was great fun. But Jesus was able to say, be still, and the waves would calm down and the wind would calm down. Wow, this was someone to follow. They knew they were on to a good thing. This is looking great. He's going to be king, and we're going to be his government. We're going to be his other important people as part of that. That's what they thought. In fact, we've read Mark chapter 11. If you go back to Mark chapter 10 and then back to Mark chapter 9, they're walking along the road and they're discussing something really important. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Wow. Peter, do you think it's going to be you? Or what about you, Judas? Would you be the greatest in the kingdom? They were discussing among themselves, who is going to be the greatest? Because this is fantastic. And then in Mark chapter 10, you find two of them, James and John, and they really want to be really important. And they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, yes, James and John, Jesus, we want you to do something for us. And we want you to say yes. Have you ever said that to your mummy? I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to say yes. That's what they said. I'm going to ask you an important question. I want you to say yes. We want you to do whatever we want you to do. Oh, it's crazy really, isn't it? But isn't that the way we talk to God sometimes? I've got an idea. I want you to bless it. But they said, we want you to do whatever. And he said, what's the question? Well, whenever you come into your kingdom, whenever you're king, whenever you're number one, could I sit on one side of you and my brother sit on the other side of you? That was some request, wasn't it? Could we be really important too? And he said, well, actually, it's not my place to give you those jobs. You just do what I tell you. You keep following me. That's chapter 10. Then in chapter 11, this is it. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. This was the moment he was going to be king. All the way through, he was saying to people, I don't want to be king. And when he did great miracles, he said, shh, don't tell anyone. It's a secret between you and me. But suddenly he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to tell the world that he was a king. And the disciples were going with him. And then at the start of this chapter, we find him speaking to two of them. And they're unnamed. He said to two of his disciples, could it be that it was the same two disciples who said, hey, could we be really famous in your kingdom, James and John? Could it have been them? Who knows? But they're two nameless disciples, and he gives them a job. Go and find a donkey. Hang on, Lord. You're going to be king. We're going to be really important. What do you mean? Go and find a donkey. Could someone else not do that? You know, one of the plebs, but we're going to be really important in the kingdom of God. Don't ask us. But he did. We all love donkeys, don't we? Aren't donkeys so cute? They're lovely. We all love a donkey. You know, donkeys are great singers. I've got a picture here, boys and girls, of a donkey singing. And there you go. He's going to join the tenor section in the choir, great singers. And you see, I was with a donkey the other day and I said, I want to take a photograph. Would you give me a smile? So he gave me a smile. Donkeys have got great smiles, haven't they? He said to me, do you want it with the teeth or without the teeth? I said, I don't know. Just make it look good. Donkeys are brilliant. But most of all, donkeys are cute. Look at this next one. And that's what what the disciples were sent to find, a donkey and his foal. Wow, isn't that brilliant? They are so cute. And that was their job. It was a kind of mundane kind of a job, wasn't it? An ordinary kind of a job. He's going to enter Jerusalem. He's going to be king. And we are sent to get the donkey. Not a very glamorous job. But it was an important job, wasn't it? A really important job. Not all jobs have to be flashy. There were times whenever those disciples did heal people and they preached to people, but not everybody heals and not everybody preaches. But everybody can do the unglamorous jobs, the mundane jobs, the jobs that nobody else sees. Go and get the donkey. And he told them where to go and he told them what to say. And he said, and if they say to you, why are you taking that donkey? You say to them, the Lord needs it. We'll bring it back. And they went to find the donkey, and there it was tied just as he said it would be. And as they untied it to walk away, someone challenged them and said, oi, where are you taking that donkey? And he said, the master needs it, but we'll bring it back. And the guy said, okay. Isn't that amazing? They didn't know really where they were going. They didn't know who they were going to meet, but Jesus told them exactly what to do and exactly what would happen. And isn't that great? That's what he tells us. He says, don't worry what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will help you. Don't worry where you're going to go. I will lead you. Just you do what I want you to do. Might be glamorous. Might be mundane. But just do it. There was a race last week. Have we got a picture of that, Bobby? Does anybody know what race that was? It's horse racing. What horse race was it? How do you all know that? It was a Grand National in Aintree in Liverpool. Isn't that brilliant? Been running for a long, long time. Here's another little picture of them. Look at how fast they go. Wow. Has anybody ever been to see the Grand National or ridden in the Grand National or have a horse in the Grand National? Does anybody know what horse won the Grand National? It was an Irish horse, yeah. What was its name? You know far too much in here. And here's a picture of it in the winner's enclosure. There it is, Tiger Roll. Look at that. Does anybody know who? Oh, that's right, he was, that's right. Yeah. Does anybody know who rode the horse? A jockey, yeah. There's always someone clever, isn't there? Does anybody know the name of the jockey?
Dave.
That is right, it was Dave. It was actually a guy called Dave. Yeah, was that just a guess? His writer was called Davy Russell. That's very good. Davy Russell. Does anybody know who the trainer is? Oh, well done. Barbara got Gordon Elliott. Very good. Does anybody know who owns the horse? Oh, you all know that. Good old Michael, eh? Does anybody know who the breeder of the horse was? Does anybody know who the young lady is holding the horse at the front? Does anybody know who feeds the horse? Pardon? A groom. I thought that was a wedding. There we go. Does anybody know who runs the horse out on early in the morning or who brushes the horse or... They're all... Pardon? Yeah, could be. No. There's lots of people who we don't know. We know the name of the horse and maybe the rider and certainly who owns it. The kind of glamorous positions. But who knows who trots that horse or takes it out for a gallop or feeds it or mucks out a stable or all these people that we have no idea who they are. And yet, those people are a crucial part of the team, aren't they? This is the sharp end. This is the glorious end. But there's a huge team behind that. And just think, if those disciples hadn't gone to get the donkey, no donkey, no triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because Zechariah had said, as we read at the beginning, that he would ride in on a donkey. So if there's no donkey, well, the
There's no hosannas. No people shouting praise. There's no laying down their cloaks or their t-shirts on the ground. There's no laying down palm branches. The event just would not happen if someone hadn't got the donkey. At the beginning of Mark chapter 1, we find John the Baptist. And of course it was predicted that he would prepare the way for the Lord. In fact, there was a prophecy, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist was a preparer of the way. And yet those two disciples getting the donkey were also preparers of the way. No donkey, no entry, no king. And that's what we are called to do too. Called to be people who prepare the way for the Lord. All those mundane things that happen to make way for the Lord. What does that look like? Could be coming in here and cleaning the church. That's preparation, isn't it? Could be making someone a meal who's been in hospital. Could be telling someone, I'm praying for you. It could be a million and one different jobs. Little jobs, mundane jobs, jobs that people don't recognize or see or know what's happening. But unless you and I are doing all those little jobs, then the big things can't happen. The people who pay the bills, people who fix a door, people who just make things happen. No donkey, no triumphal entry. And that's what we are. We're called to be, boys and girls and everybody else, preparers of the way. Everything that we do for him is preparing the way. Someone didn't switch on the sound, but wouldn't speak through a microphone. Someone didn't turn the light on or the heat on. We sit here shivering. And for those two disciples, that's what they were called to do. To prepare the way to get the donkey. Not to be glam or recognized. But to be faithful, to do what he asks us to do. What are our expectations as Christians? What are our expectations of ourselves? Sometimes the two things don't marry up. Those disciples had great expectation, but God had a different plan at this time to do something different. But in so doing, they prepared the way for the Lord. And that's what we are. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And as we do those simple acts of kindness, it is allowing God to speak into a situation, God to move, a sermon to be preached, a testimony to be given, just through an act of kindness. An unrecognized act, maybe. So boys and girls, that's the story of Palm Sunday. There's many stories of Palm Sunday. Yeah, it was a red carpet treatment. A king was coming that had been prophesied hundreds of years before. Jesus had arrived, but everybody had to play their part. Everybody had to do their little job to make it happen. And in everything that we do, and everything that we are, everything we're called to do, the gifts that we're given, we're called to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Great story, isn't it? A great message, isn't it? For all of us. So next time someone says, what do you think about Palm Sunday? What happened? You remember, two people whose names we don't know went to find a donkey. And because they did, a king could enter Jerusalem.